Greetings of peace and strength. Dear listener, appreciate you tuning back in and thank you again for your patience with me as I continue to build my tools and tech equipment to hopefully improve this podcast. And so I hope that my current mic is offering better sound quality compared to my previous episode. And so let's jump right in as we continue exploration of Ubuntu, which is an African philosophy of interconnectedness. And the previous episode, Humanity's Echo Across Time. Today, I am going to bite into a person that for me really embodies in his ministry, that of Desmond Tutu's Ubuntu, and especially in the heartbeat of South Africa's quest for unity and justice, Archbishop Emeritus Desmond Tutu's teachings on Ubuntu, I think, offer profound insights that extend far beyond just simple acts of kindness or even communal living. And I think they represent a deep-seated philosophy that has the power, indeed, to transform our neighborhoods, our society. And also, just for to know where I'm coming from, I speak as a nephew deeply entwined with the historical narrative through family and personal experience, especially that my aunt experienced, who currently is the rector of Church of the Advent in Los Angeles on the corner of Adams and La Brea, the Reverend Vanessa McKenzie, because she really experienced deep mentorship under Desmond Tutu when he was then the Bishop of Johannesburg. And his office, I think, was located at St. Mary's Cathedral. But also by the spiritual guidance of my grandfather, my grandparents who raised me, but my grandfather, the late Bishop Edward McKenzie, because he served as Suffragan Bishop in Cape Town to Desmond Tutu. And it was in the heart of South Africa's turbulent journey towards freedom and equality and reconciliation and truth. His voice really rose with a message that would echo far beyond South Africa's borders, a message of reconciliation, a message of truth, which was grounded in the philosophy of Ubuntu. And his name as a spiritual leader has become synonymous, I think, with peace, with justice, and it wove through the threads of Ubuntu into a vision that sought to heal a nation, heal a country scarred by apartheid. And so his contributions to our understanding of Ubuntu in the context of truth and reconciliation are profound and numerous. And yet there, some remain less known to others. The community of the brokenhearted. Tutu often spoke of the Rainbow Nation, a term that evoked the diversity and unity of post-apartheid South Africa. However, I think less discussed in his concept of the community of the brokenhearted is this idea that encapsulate the collective grief of a nation and the shared suffering that apartheid inflicted. I think Tutu understood that acknowledging this communal heartache was essential for true healing. I think he believed that Ubuntu meant embracing even the most painful parts of our shared story, our shared history, transforming our collective wounds into wellsprings of empathy and compassion. In the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, the TRC, Tutu really championed the power of storytelling as a means of healing. I think he encouraged individuals from all sides of the conflict to share their stories. Not just as a record of events, but as a cathartic process. These narratives became, for me, I think, a tapestry of human experience, a testament to the resilience of the spirit, and a crucial step towards national healing. Tutu's insistence on storytelling, I think, was an embodiment of Ubuntu, recognizing that in the shared stories, we find a common humanity. Also, I recall, and just in my own experiences, I think less heralded are Tutu's quiet moments of solidarity, his silent ministry of presence. I recall listening to my grandfather, how he would share how he would often visit the sites of violence and tragedy, sometimes speaking, sometimes not, but always present. This ministry was a physical manifestation of Ubuntu, a demonstration that we are not alone in our suffering. His presence was, I think, a powerful reminder that empathy does not always require words, and often it is our silent companionship that offers the greatest comfort. Also, I don't think that Tutu's spirituality was confined to the walls of then the Church of the Province of Southern Africa, or the Anglican Church of Southern Africa, or the Church. I think it was lived out in the gritty reality of people's lives. He taught that forgiveness was not a passive act, but a vigorous process that involved facing the truth, demanding justice, and then choosing to forgive. This process was a radical application of Ubuntu, as it called for individuals and communities to break the cycle of retribution and embrace a future built on mercy and understanding. I think Tutu's life was a testament to the power of living one's convictions. His book, No Future Without Forgiveness, is not only an historical account of South Africa's journey towards reconciliation, but I think it's also perhaps a manual for practicing Ubuntu in our churches and sacred gathering places, and in our communities. And so these three lessons from his book strike me, that I think, and I wonder, how might we apply in our spiritual communities today in our post-modernity? The first one for me is the ritual of truth-telling. To emphasize the importance of truth-telling as a ritual in the process of forgiveness in our churches, we and all of our spiritual oases, our synagogues, our temples, our creation, we can create spaces where congregants, where people are encouraged to share their truths, irrespective perhaps of how uncomfortable that might be. This practice can be a powerful step towards healing, as it allows individuals to acknowledge their pain and begin the journey towards forgiveness. And for me, I want to be sure, I think when we are gathered in community, there is a way we can differentiate between authentic truth-telling and vulnerability and just somebody being mean or claiming to stand in their truth. But what do you think? The second piece is justice as a foundation for forgiveness. I think Tutu did not see forgiveness as an alternative to justice, rather as a companion. I wonder, in our sacred spaces, as we advocate for justice as a community, standing with those who have been wronged or working towards systemic change. This commitment to justice, I think, reflects the Ubuntu principle that our humanity is bound up with the humanity of others. And then third, forgiveness as a community endeavor. I wonder, forgiveness for Tutu, I think, was not just an individual act, but a communal one. I think he believed that communities could collectively decide to forgive, and that this decision had the power to transform society in our communities, in our spiritual places, and we can practice communal forgiveness, coming together to release the bitterness and choose a path of healing and restoration. So, in light of these insights from Tutu's life and work, I think we are confronted with a wonderful, challenging spiritual question. How can we, as faith communities, create rituals of truth-telling and spaces for communal forgiveness that honor the principles of Ubuntu, of interconnectedness? What does that look like? Engage with this question, and I invite you to share your thoughts. And email me, leave a voicemail, but share with me, if you're willing, what do you think as you bite into this question? May we continue to strive to embody the transformative power of forgiveness and love in our collective journey towards healing, dear friends. Till next time, gratitude for tuning in, blessings for your attention, and know that I hold you in prayer wherever you're listening to this today. Yeah, but.